Parshas Hazinu, or the Poem of Testimony, has a lot of truth and consequence. Hashem tells us that we can't just do as we please and expect to get away with it. So like in the end of the fifth reading, this is almost like a paradigm shift where Hashem finishes speaking about us, the Jewish people, and how our misdemeanors are going to be dealt with. And then we move over into the sixth reading of Parshas Hazinu. We start to speak about how Hashem will exact punishment from our enemies who tormented and persecuted us over the years. So we'll start off at verse 39. This is kind of like the sum total of everything that we read about in the verses prior. Hashem says, Re'u ata, so see now, ka'ani hu ve'ein elekim imadi. I am the only God, and there is no deity on par with me. I don't have to contend with anybody, per se, says God. Ani omis ba'achaye. It is I who cuts down, who kills, and it is I who brings to life. Machatzdi v'ani erpa. I'm the one who strikes, and I am the one who heals. Ve'ein miyodi matzil, and there is nobody who can deliver from my hand. Nobody can get away from me. So Rashi says, Re'u ata, see now. And the way the Mefarshim explained this Rashi, essentially Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people, you need to see this for yourselves. You need to understand this. Havinu, understand from now, and learn min haparonius shehevesi aleichem. Learn from the catastrophic events that have unfolded. Learn from history. And this really begins at the outset, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zechor Yemeselam, after he introduces his sermon, his poem, and he says, listen to the heavens, listen to earth, and he calls everything to witness, and he says, you need to learn from history. Zechor Yemeselam. Don't just think things happen. Learn the lessons. And here it's being brought home. Havino, understand. Yes, we have suffered more than any people under the face of earth. That is a fact. We're also the only people around so long. But the point that's being made to us is learn this lesson and learn it well. Ein lochem Moshiach. See that there is nobody who can save you from my hand. And nobody can stop the salvation I bring you. In other words, there's this inexorable march of history, and the Jewish people are always going to be a part of it. Nobody can stop the tragedies that have befallen us, but nobody can also stop the salvation that Hashem will deliver us. There is nobody who can, if you will, protest or restrain or stop me. Hashem says basically, when I decide, this is how it's going to be. And we need to learn this. We need to understand this. We like to be in control. So we like to think we can control things, and you know we can chart the course of our destiny. And if only we would have done A, B, or C, we could have prevented this catastrophe or that tragedy. But in fact, that's not the case. Not the case at all. At a certain point, things are far beyond our control. Ani hu. The pasuk says I am. So why do we have the word I am? Ani hu. So Rashi says ani lahashpil v'ani laharim. I bring you low, and I raise you high. It's the same Rebbeinu Shlomo. In certain faith systems, there's a profound disconnect between things that happen to you that are good and things that happen to you that are not good. And they believe in different forces. We don't believe in that. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all God. Like it says, Yesir Eir Uveri Cheshach, the same God that makes light brings about darkness. And that's the emphasis, is Ani. It is I, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ein Elohim imadi, oymed kenegdi limches. There is no deity, there is no force that I contend with, not chas v'shalom a Satan or a devil or something which is on par with God, that can, if you will, stop or impede the progress that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Imadi, what does it mean imadi, with me? So Rashi says imadi means, doesn't mean with me, sitting next to me. It means dugmasi, b'chameini. There is nothing like God. There is no secondary God, no half God, no nothing that God has to wrestle with. In other faith systems, they have this notion of God having this wrestling match. Of course, God is greater in the end. He wins the match, but still God has to contend. There is no contender. There is no dugmasi. There is no equal to God. It's only God. That's what we believe. The ein matzel miyadi, hapoishim bi, Rashi says, this refers to those who rebel against me. And that's the final, the sum total of all the verses in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about the Jewish people, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. If we turn our backs to Hashem, Hashem turns his back to us. If we rebel against Hashem, Hashem removes his blessings from us. If we behave as we should, then we receive abundant bounty from Hashem's hand. So how about the anti-Semites? How about all those horrible people who did terrible things to the Jewish people over the years? So here in the sixth reading, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki esa el shamayim yodi. I raise my hand, so to speak, to the heavens. What does that mean? God doesn't have a hand? Well, why would he have to raise it to the heavens? So Rashi says that obviously we deal with anthropomorphic euphemism. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, through Moshe Rabbeinu, conveying certain principles, certain ideas. Ki esel shamayim yodi, raising your hand, Rashi says, means this is the notion of God's oath. God makes an oath that he will exact vengeance from those who caused his children to suffer. As Rashi puts it, ki v'charoin api esa yodi, I raise my hand, proverbially speaking, in anger over my enemies, as an oath. El atzmi, to myself, v'shvua, as if to speak, as if to take an oath. So just like sometimes the people take an oath, they raise their hand to take an oath. It's a euphemism. There's the verbalization of an oath, and then there's the raising a hand of taking an oath. So God says, I act out an oath. As if that I'm... So why do you have to say that? Why do you guys say, I make an oath? Why do you have to raise his hand for? So Rashi says that the raising of the hand is a sign of anger. Like a person would say, don't raise your hand against me. What are you raising your hand for? Raising a hand is a sign of aggression. Raising a hand is a sign of anger. Is it raising a hand? You know, even in military parlance, so why do they salute? Maybe when you greet a superior, do you salute? The salute is a sign of disarmament. You always salute with your right hand, because that's the hand you draw your weapon with. In the ancient world, the people would survive literally by the sword, so an attack on the right side could definitely be defended. Your sword is on your right, your weapon is on your right. If somebody attacked you on your right, you're able to pull your weapon and defend yourself. But an attack on the left side is very dangerous, because you have to have that split second to reorient yourself. When you pull your sword out, if you're right-handed, like most people are, so you pull your sword out and reorient yourself, that split second could be fatal. Incidentally, this is where the term sinister comes from. Sinister comes from the Latin word sinesti, which means left. A sinister attack was attack on the left side. That's your weak side. So the notion of in ancient military parlance, when you greeted a superior, you would raise your hand as a salute, showing that you're disarming yourself. So there's a raising an arm of disarmament, and then there's raising an arm. And the raising of an arm is a sign of aggression or a sign of anger. So therefore, the Kadosh Baruch Hu uses the terminology over here, ki esa al shamayim yodi, obviously al shamayim, God's raising to the heavens. Shamayim is, as we human beings in our construct, we speak of heaven, we speak of God, we speak of the heavenly domain. Not that God is found in some third orbit or in outer space. That's ridiculous. It's a euphemism. That's the way people tend to look. Like David HaMelech says, you know, Esa, I raise my eyes up. So God says, I raise my hand. The notion of heaven is the notion of an oath, but the raising of hand is the notion of aggression or anger. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry on our behalf. He's angry at what has been done to us. Now, what does God say? Well, how does even Rashi know this is an oath? Well, continue reading. It says, V'amarti, because after he acts out the oath by raising his hand, I say, Chai Anochi Lo'elo, I live for eternity. Rashi says, Chai Anochi, I live. So he says, this is Lashon Shibur. This comes to the terminology of an oath. And we actually find this already prior to the Chumash. In the book of Numbers, Sefer Bamidbar, in the 14th chapter, over there we read about the Jewish people who refused to enter the land of Israel. Oh, Hashem wants to take them to Eretz Yisrael. How does God respond? He's not happy. Not pleased. What does Hashem promise the people who refuse to go to Eretz Yisrael? The people who wail and weep on the night of Tisha B'Av. He says, you're wailing and weeping on Tisha B'Av? I'll give you something to cry about. We've been crying ever since. What does he promise those people? You don't want to go to Israel? I swear you're not going to go. That's what it says. I swear you're not going to go. And very interestingly, over there, the terminology that's used, and this is directly God communicating, dictating to Moshe, Chai Aninu Hashem. Here it says Chai Anochi. Very interesting. Here it says Chai Ani, here it's Chai Anochi. We'll talk about that in a moment, why we use different verbiage. But Hashem says, I live by my life, as if to say. By my life is a lashon of shibu. It's a language of an oath. Ani nishba, and as I make an oath, and the way God makes an oath is chay anochi, by my very life, which obviously again is a euphemism. It's just the way people speak. But then again, Parshas Hazinu is a communication to us of the way people speak. Hashem is speaking to us a poem of testimony where we can relate to. It has to be terminology. It has to be a parlance that speaks to us. So that's why we're using this terminology. So it's interesting. One of the interesting things to point out before we talk about the details of this oath. So first of all, the notion of Esa El Shamayim Yodi, according to the Psad Yagon and his interpretation, he says this means I swear by the heavens. So when we see Moshe Rabbeinu invoked heaven and earth as witnesses, and he says heaven and earth don't change, same thing, same earth, same heavens, but really, the topography of Earth does change. That's the nature. There's an evolutionary process in which mountains get smaller and others get bigger, because the nature of topography is such that there's a constant shift and a change, because of erosion, because of water, because of wind. Matter doesn't change, but it gets shifted around. So Earth changes, but the heavens don't change. The heavens are the heavens are the heavens. They haven't changed. So the Psad Yagon says that here when God swears, the poem of testimony, the witnesses are heaven and earth. But when God swears, he swears by the unchanging nature of heaven. Rashi obviously doesn't take that approach. Rashi's approach is, I swear to myself. I'm making an oath to myself. And the raising of a hand is a sign of Hashem's anger. Hashem's, on our behalf of what happened, the degradation and the suffering of the Jewish people. Ramban adds something very interesting. He says, yes, it's a sign of anger, but it's more than just a sign of anger. The notion of raising a hand, he says, is the hand of retribution. And he says, Alpi Kabbalah, the notion of Hashem raising his hand is the notion of Midas Hadin. And God raises his hand in judgment over the nations that have harassed and that have hurt the Jewish people. Chai Anoichi La'olam. So Rashi says, what does this mean? It's an oath. So no, I live forever. Now, this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I live forever, and we said that already has been talked about previously, but in Chumash Dvarim, it's Chai Ani. And here, it says Chai Anochi. Why do we have that shift? So, very interestingly, Rashi doesn't really mention it. Rashi says, it's L'shein Shavua, and he doesn't invoke the Shavua that we see in Chumash Dvarim. He doesn't even make a comparison. He doesn't draw a cross-reference. But this cross-reference is obvious. This idea shows up before. Rashi simply says, I swear, and he says, Chai Anochi. It's funny, he says, Ani Nishba, and Chai Anochi. So, none of the traditional Mefarshim speak about this. None of the Rishonim talk about the difference between one Pasuk and the other, Anochi and Ani, even though here it says Ani and Anochi. The only thing that I found is Samshul Farhirsh, which is fairly recent. He says that Ani represents the notion of God engaging, so to speak, with a circumstance, with a situation. I will get involved. But he says Anoichi is something which represents God contending with all of reality. It's not circumstantial. It has a much broader application. And that is to say, here the Jewish people said, we're not going to go into the land of Israel. God says, you're not going to go into Israel? Okay, Chai Ani. Chai Ani, I'll deal with the situation. But here, it's a whole range of things. It's from Titus's to Turkomata's. It's from Chmelnitsky's to Hitler's to Stalin's to Abbas's, Yimachshema v'zichrim, all these monsters. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, regardless of what will happen to the Jewish people, regardless of where this will happen, regardless of what the circumstances will be, I will go after every single one of these monsters. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there will be retribution. And that's an oath. And therefore the notion of Anochi is utilized here rather than the Ani. The Rebbe did talk about this though, and he pointed out that there is a fascinating distinction between the oath that Hashem takes in Parshas Bamidbar, when the Jewish people don't want to go into the land of Israel, and the oath that Hashem takes here after having concluded all of his words to Am Yisrael about truth and consequence and retribution that Hashem will demand when for our rebelliousness, when Hashem turns now to the nations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chai, not Ani, but Anochi. But very interestingly, he says, La'olam. Chai Anochi La'olam. God lives for eternity. But the idea Chai Ani with the Meraglim doesn't say La'olam. It just says Chai Ani. So here on page Yesh Gimel, we have a fascinating analysis from the Rebbe. A secret from 1976, where he spoke on Shabbos Parshas Hazino. And he said, L'cha'ira, it's unusual, it's strange, that habitu chayoni, the expression, I live. So this is understood as a language of Shavua, and that's really not a chiddush, it's not a novelty of Parshas Hazino. Even though Parshas Hazino is written in poetic prose, Parshas Hazino is not written in a typical, everyday language. It's like the Rebbe explains in Parshas Balak, that Rashi interprets the verses in the non-literal fashion, even though Rashi usually says, Ani basi lefarash pshutish ol mikra, and here I have Balak saying that I see mountains and hills, and he says, mountains is obvious, and hills is imois. What do you mean? He says, he's standing on a hill. He sees it from the mountains. Why is Rashi going non-literal? Rashi's whole essence is literal. What does the Rebbe explain? He says, because Bilam begins his words, Vayisa Mishaloi. There's a mashal here. This is parabolic talk. And therefore, you have to assume that it's going to be a parable. You have to assume metaphor. You have to assume euphemism. That is the pshutai. That is the literal meaning here. Now, here, Parshas Hazino, it's called a poem. It's even, in some level, more parabolically inclined than the words of Bilam. Words of Bilam are written, it's just prophecies. Here, it's written in a special prose that has a special cantillation. It's called a poem. It's called a song. It's not even called ordinary words. Obviously, there's profundity and depth that belies a simple meaning. Yet, interestingly, this euphemism already shows up. It shows up in parlance, which is not poetic. Where God speaking to the Jewish people, it's a very literal situation. They refuse to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Abraham says, hey, chai ani, you don't want to go? You're not going to go. And that's an oath. This is not going back. This is not like when Hashem said to the golden calf, I'll destroy the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu proverbially grabs God by the lapels and says, no, you have to forgive the Jewish people. And finally Hashem says, Salachti kibberacha. That's what's going on tonight, actually. We're recommemorating the end, the conclusion of 40 days of grace, where Hashem does say, indeed, I forgave the Jewish people. This is a little different. This is not, God says, this is an oath. This is not getting rescinded. These people will not go to the land of Israel. So here, it's like Rashi's telling us, this poetic prose refers to an oath from God. But really, it's something that's found earlier. But the Rebbe points out, earlier, by the Menaglim, Chayani, and Chayani Nu'um Hashem. It's not once, it says it twice by the Menaglim. But over there, neither instance is the word La'olam appear. There's no Tosefes, there's no addition to the word La'olam. The Rebbe asks, Madua, why is it, Eifei, Madgish HaKosuf Kan, that the Pasuk emphasizes here, Chayanechi La'olam? Can it be that it's for poetic license? It's like, La'ilu means for eternity. There's something about this oath that makes it more eternal than the oath prior. So the Rebbe says that the Hezber, the explanation for this is actually the Pashtus. It's not some kind of mystical or poetic illusion. It's very simple. When Hashem makes an oath, the Shavua of Parshas Shlach, how long is that oath?
40 years.
It's 40 years. You don't want to go to Israel? You're not going to go to Israel. In 40 years, a new generation will rise. They'll go to Israel. It's a Shavua Katsara. It's a very Katsara's Mayer. It has an expiration date. This is not an eternal thing. This is not forever. Tokva Nimshach Abayim Shana. It's in place. It's an oath. For 40 years, the sulayim, that's it. 40 years ends, the oath is over. L'chein, therefore, in tzerich l'hadgish v'mikra zeh, Hashem doesn't have to emphasize chayav noichi l'olam. This is not about eternal. There's nothing eternal about the oath. On the contrary, it's temporary in its very nature. Shekein in tzerich b'chay olam k'dei l'hanik l'shvua tekev. Hashem doesn't have to give, endow this oath with meaning and with strength and with conviction by using the word forever, because it's not a forever thing. On the contrary, it's only 40 years. The parsha seinu, in our parsha, however, l'umazes, in sharp contrast, meduva b'shvua shatokva nimshach ad achres hayomim. This is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking almost 3,300 years ago. And it holds sway for eternity, until the end of time, until the coming of Mashiach speedily in our days. All of the things that have happened to our people, Hashem will exact vengeance from each and every single one of those horrible individuals. Every monster will pay the price. This is a shvua shatokva nimshach zman koirav. This is a shvuah that's in place for a very long time. Unfortunately, far longer than anybody ever hoped for. That we still will be waiting for Mashiach 33 centuries later. And therefore, Yechelu Lehiskayan, this will only be taken seriously. This will only be in effect. Bekoichesh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is by the power of God. Anybody can make an oath for 40 years. Chayani, you make an oath, that's fine. But nobody can make an oath that says for eternity, till the end of time. And this is God making the oath till the end of time, that a God's, so to speak, life, euphemistically, is eternal. So God, who is eternal, makes an oath that is eternal. My dear friends, that's the oath that we must know, that nobody will walk, nobody will be able to pass. Those who tormented the Jewish people, every single one of them will ultimately pay the price, and our Kadosh Baruch Hu will exact vengeance, as the psukim go on to speak about. Hashem will flash his sword, and he will exact vengeance. The nations will all sing someday, and they will all understand and know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will avenge every drop of blood that was sacrificed, every single ounce of suffering that the Jewish people experienced. In the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return us to the land of Israel, hopefully with the coming of Mashiach. Ben Heira, Ubi Ameinu.